Today is the 19th Sunday after Pentecost, and the readings are from Isaiah chapter 25, verses 6 through 9, and the Gospel of Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. And today's message is titled, The Invitation to Come. Hear the word of God from the prophet Isaiah chapter 25. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats, and the finest of wines. On this mountain he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all people, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove the disgrace of his people from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day they will say, Surely this is our God. We trusted in him, and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. The Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter, beginning at the first verse. Jesus spoke to them again in a parable, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners, invite to the banquet anyone you find. So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. Friend, he asked, how did you get in here without wedding clothes? The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, tie him hand and foot, and throw him outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen. Again, today's sermon message is the invitation to come. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praying the prayer from the fourth century. Lord, God of inconceivable power, incomprehensible glory, immeasurable mercy, unspeakable kindness, look on us in your tender love and show your rich mercy and compassion to us and those who pray with us. Amen. The beginning of November 1996 set in motion many meaningful moments. Friday evening, November 1st, 1996, walking amongst the trees of Mount Union College, Heather said, Sure, when I asked, Will you marry me? The next day, Saturday, November 2nd, the Mount Union girls soccer team won the OAC championship for the first time. Then Sunday, November 3rd, 1996, the congregation that was interviewing me voted to extend a call to me, my first call, meaning ordination. In that three-day period, now almost 24 years ago, life had some major marking points. Planning began, first for the ordination. We set the date for December 14th, 1996, and coordinating schedules with the office of bishop and family to have as many come as could come. For the moment, Heather and I kept the engagement quiet. I wanted to ask her parents before, particularly her dad, before we shared with others. And on her dad's birthday, November 20th, I drove up to Cleveland and timed the visit to her dad to arrive just as his school day ended. I asked if I could have his daughter's hand in marriage. He answered, "Did you ask her mother?" So off to surprise Heather's mother at the end of her day at school. I asked her, and she said with a big smile, "Of course," and kissed me on the cheek. Heather still kept the engagement a secret from her college friends for the moment, till one of them guessed why she was smiling so much. Now the planning began. First we set the date for the wedding, then the next several months visited several places to hold the reception, tasting food samples, checking out cake prices, and tasting cake samples for the wedding cake, discussing back and forth how many we could invite to the wedding on each side of the family, Heather trying on wedding dresses, and I was determined to keep the tradition of not seeing the bride in her wedding dress before that amazing moment when she would step into view so beautifully and begin that walk up to me waiting for her. A simply stunning moment in life. In making the invitation list, a lot of back and forth as to whom to invite went on. Who would likely attend? Who do you have to invite so as not to offend? Most likely you've had some or similar or same experiences. What was fascinating was to follow who would actually come. Surprised that some would make the effort to travel great distances, even being after New Year's for a January 3rd wedding in Cleveland. We sent out the invitations. We did our part. Now it was up to those invited to decide whether to come or not. The familiarity of this experience of planning for a wedding, it's common for many people. And the same struggles in making of decisions and watching the days tick off, sometimes at that slow pace of like a sloth slowly going by, then at other times like a roadrunner or a jackrabbit racing too fast as the crunch time came in. I especially felt that crunch time as I was making the table centerpieces. I enlisted other hands to carefully wrap foam hearts with white ribbon. This parable in Matthew chapter 22, it builds on people's common experiences of wedding banquets. Many would know the effort to prepare a feast and the sending out of invitations. Experience those who came and those who did not. Have you ever planned a party and went through a great effort and no one showed up? I've read stories in the news of children inviting classmates to come to birthday parties and no one shows up. I did a quick internet search with the words "no one showing up," and story after story after story was found easily of birthday party after birthday party. No one came, and the heartbroken child. No one invited came. In the parable, the king sends out the invitations for the son's wedding banquet. The servants were sent out to the ones who had been invited, telling them, "It's ready, time to come." But they refused to come. More precisely, the ones invited were not willing to come. There's much meaning in these words here. In the Greek, it's auk ethelon, not willing. And the word used here translated as willing is often used as the word to describe the Lord extending his best offer to the believer. Wanting that believer, wanting that one to become a believer, desiring to birth persuasion in that person. In other words, to birth faith in them. Not willing. That word willing is used to describe the Lord inviting us to birth faith in us. And these people were not willing. Much meaning here. The kingdom of heaven is like. And the people who were invited to come, the answer from those invited, those called, was not willing. Not responding to the persuasion for faith to be birthed in them. Keep that in mind because we're going to come back to that a little bit later this morning. More servants were sent saying, "Tell those who have been invited that I've prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle have been butchered. And everything is ready to come to the wedding banquet." missing in the English word butchered that I just read, but is in the image in the Greek word, is that these animals were sacrificed. They were offered as spiritual sacrifice. Come to the wedding feast. The spiritual sacrifice has been made. This parable is full of images pointing to the kingdom of heaven as salvation and eternal life in Christ. How did the people respond? They paid no attention. In other words, neglect, careless of, disregarded. And step back now and remember the context of this parable. Remember the setting. This parable is a part of a group of parables taught at the temple in response to the chief priests and elders, along with the Pharisees, questioning Jesus' authority. You had the parable of the two sons, the parable of the tenants, and now the parable of the wedding banquet. They're grouped together, all in the hearing of the chief priests, elders, Pharisees, religious leaders, and the other people. But more importantly, these chief priests, elders, Pharisees, they're the ones that are not responding and doing as they ought to do. What has been the attitude of these religious leaders in Jerusalem? Indifference, disregard for the things of God. Excuses are given. Working in the field, business concern, distractions. What distractions are keeping you from the things of God? What concerns are displacing the worship and praise of God in your heart and in your soul? What about your friends or your neighbors? The answer to the heartache of these days is Christ and Christ alone. And the invitation is given. And many are doing as this parable describes, not willing, disregard for the invitation. The stuff of this world is more important for them than the kingdom of God. The parable tells us of the seizing, mistreating, and killing of the servants of the king, just as the leaders of Jerusalem have been doing through the years, seizing, mistreating, and killing the prophets of the Lord God, especially the prophets that declared, "Thus saith the Lord," with words of judgment and destruction, if they did not heed the call to repent. As the parable says, the king responded with judgment and destruction. This happened in Jerusalem. Destruction came to Jerusalem, and destruction came to the first temple in 586 BC as Babylon came and conquered. And the destruction will come again as the second temple will be destroyed by Rome in the year 70 AD. Matthew chapter 22, verse 8. Then he, that is the king, said to his servants, "The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come." That word translated as deserved in the phrase deserved to come in the Greek is an adjective derived from the word that means to weigh. It properly means to weigh in, to assign a value. Remember when King Belshazzar in Babylon gave that great banquet and used the gold and silver goblets that his king Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple. And as they drank from the goblets in debauchery, suddenly a finger appeared of a human hand appeared and wrote on the plaster of the wall. Daniel's called in to read the writing, and the writing is many, many tekel parson. That word tekel means you have been weighed and found wanting. That very night, Belshazzar, king of Babylon, was slain. This is recorded in Scripture in Daniel chapter 5. That weighing of Belshazzar is the same meaning of this Greek word in Matthew chapter 22, translated as deserved. Those invited were weighed, and the weighing found that they were wanting as they were weighed on God's balance of truth of his scale. So the servants are sent out to find more. Matthew chapter 22, verses 9 and 10. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find. So the servants went out to the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. Go and invite to the wedding feast. desire to see this place filled with worship, desire to see the parking lot and eventually the inside filled with worship, go and invite. When was the last time you invited someone to come to worship with you? Would you plan a party and prepare a great feast for a banquet and expect your hall to be filled if you never sent out a single invitation, never invited anyone? Would your hall be full if no invitations were sent? Would anyone come to the feast? It is interesting to note that the servants invited both the good and the bad, both the evil and the good. So the wedding became full of those reclining at the tables. Along with the good people, evil people were invited too. This image of inviting all, this image of inviting all shows the wonder and the expanse of this invitation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This invocation that we proclaim of the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ is for all people. It's such an expansive, wonderful, glorious invitation. This gospel of Jesus Christ is for all people, the good, the bad, and the ugly too. The invitation is given to all, not excluding anyone based on their behavior, not judging whether they're worthy to come to the wedding feast or not. That separation will come when the King comes himself. He will see to it. Invite! Invite! This invitation to come is freely given to all. Invite and see the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the power of Jesus' redeeming blood wash a sinner clean and set him free, giving new life in Christ. The wedding banquet is full of the evil and good people. And the King comes in and the King looks at the crowd at his son's wedding banquet and notices one man in the crowd stood out. Matthew chapter 22, verses 11 and 12. But when the King came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there was not wearing wedding clothes. Friend, he asked, how did you get in here without wedding clothes? The man was speechless. Note, among the many of the evil that were invited, only one stands out as not wearing the wedding garment. What that means is all the others had taken on the wedding garment. Just this one did not take the wedding garment. And to this one, the King asks, how did you get in here? And it's a question more like, by what way did you come in? And the way the phrase is put, it implies that this one man did not enter this wedding feast in the proper manner or in the proper way. This man came in through a door. If it was the proper way, he would have the wedding garment to wear. But this one man, the way it's phrased, indicates he had come in the wrong way. Come in by his own effort. Come in and ignored the opportunity to wear a wedding garment. Have you ever been to a very formal dining room that has that sign? No coat, no tie, no service. Or maybe you've seen the scene in a movie or a TV show that they come to dinner, they want to go in, but they're not properly dressed. So the maitre d' goes into a side room and brings out a coat and a tie for the gentleman to wear so he can go in. And if it's a sad tie, or that coat that comes out and that tie that comes out it is ridiculous looking, but the point is they must have a coat and tie to enter in. That's the image of this parable hill. You must be dressed in the wedding garment. If this man had entered in the proper way, he would have that coat and tie for this setting. In other words, the wedding garment for this setting. But he entered in a wrong way. This one entered in with no regard for the propriety of the wedding banquet. There is a subtlety here, and it's not quite possible to render in English. But the subtlety is not so much about not having this wedding garment on as to the attitude present of disrespect for the occasion, not being properly dressed at the son's wedding feast. As a result, this one is bound, tied, and thrown out into the outer darkness. Outer darkness, the Greek word is skotos, and darkness. And with that, it has this figurative meaning, the principle of sin with its certain results. So this man, not properly attired, is thrown out into this outer darkness as a result of sin. And there is the associated suffering and weeping and gnashing of teeth. There is this place of separation far outside. It's a place of darkness, a place far off, cut off from the presence of God. The most common name of this place is hell. The one throne did not come in the proper way to the wedding feast, so did not have the wedding garment, so was rightly so thrown out to the outer place of darkness. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. You are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. The wedding garment is Christ and Christ alone. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul writes, do you not know the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? And then Paul lists several sins to make the point. Then in witness to the redeeming power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the redeeming power and forgiveness that is found in Christ, Paul writes, and that is what some of you were. Past tense. Were. They have been redeemed. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. The invitation is given, the invitation to come. How will you respond? Will your heart respond to the Lord's action of birthing faith in you? Will the invitation to believe take root in your soul? In the mystery of God's wonder, God has given us free will to respond. And also in the mystery of God's wonder, God set the time to respond to be during our human earthly life. Will you respond before it's too late? Will life-transforming faith in Christ be birthed in you and be dressed in the wedding garment provided by Christ's righteousness as pure can be, for it is washed in His redeeming blood? Wedding feast. Invited to come. Do they stand at the door and ask you to pay before you entered the wedding feast? No, it's a free gift. And this call to respond in faith is a free gift of God's grace. For Christ has done all the work on the cross. He paid the penalty in full. The redeeming has been done in the completed and finished work of Christ on the cross. Written in Hebrews chapter 9, starting at the second half of verse 26 through 28. But now He, Christ, has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Just as man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. And He will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for Him. Salvation. That's what this parable is really about. Salvation, the kingdom of heaven, is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. Salvation is a feast prepared with the finest of fare, as described in this parable of the wedding banquet, and also described in Isaiah chapter 25. For it is written in Scripture, on this mountain the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all people, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats, the finest of wines. On this mountain He will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove the disgrace of his people from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day they will say, surely this is our God. We trusted him and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. The invitation to come is an invitation to salvation. The invitation to the great and grand wedding feast. It is given to all. Repent and believe. In other words, respond to the invitation. Come, be set free by the crucified and risen Christ. Amen and amen.